Tonight we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I won't have an introduction. I wanted to give you guys an update. So we're going to go straight from taxiing to 40,000 feet real quick. I'm going to jump into the first point. First point could be kind of the introduction, but the title on 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through verse number 4, the title is right out of verse number 4, "If our gospel be hid." If our gospel be hid. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." I want to explain this out about the God of this world and his ability or inability to blind the minds. And what this is talking about, how our gospel is hid. So we'll start off with point one. We're going to look at what is our gospel. What is our gospel? We have to understand what that is. And the context is very easy when we look at the surrounding chapters and bring it in, understanding what our gospel is, then how the devil blinds the mind of our gospel from a lost and dying world, and what our obligation is that it does not get blinded to a lost and dying world. Before we get into the preaching, let's ask God's blessing on the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can come together and open up the Word of God. Lord, the power is in your Word. We're just vessels, servants, Lord, surrendering to your leading and guiding and the preaching of the Word of God, the studying of the Word of God, and the hearts to receive it and souls to receive it tonight, Lord, that they would be open and receiving what the Spirit has for them, those that are here amongst us, those that are online, Lord, that's watching and receiving what you have for us tonight. Lord, that each of us can walk out of here a stronger believer as we step into revival, ready to see you do a mighty work in this coming week in our lives as we take your word, your gospel, the word of God, out to a lost and dying world. And Lord, in all that we do tonight, we pray you get all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In your precious name we pray, amen. In 2 Corinthians 4, in verse number 1, the very first word is the word therefore. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." This sets the context of what our gospel is. Whenever you see the word therefore, if you're a good student of the Word of God, the word therefore is there to help us find the context of what's about to be given to us. Whenever you see the word therefore, I teach our folks this. You see the word therefore, you ought to think, what is the therefore, therefore? And go back to what is being spoken about. And it's going to draw the context in. And as we draw the context in, briefly from chapter number 3, we're going to start to see the picture of what is our gospel. What is our gospel? The context is key in understanding if our gospel be hid. Therefore now, seeing, it looks back to chapter number 3. We're not going to walk through chapter 3, but look at two verses real quick. And see that our ministry that's spoken of in verse 1 of chapter 4, where it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," our ministry from chapter number 3 is our Christian living, our Christian walk. In verse number 2 and verse number 3 of chapter number 3, it says, "Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly," and you see that word manifest, manifestation, manifestly, that means something is made visible. It's made visible. So you're going to start painting a picture of what our gospel is by chapter number 3. "So for as much as ye are manifestly or visibly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." The word manifestly and us being written in the heart, us being a written epistle, is something now that's going to become visible. And if you study through chapter number 3, it's speaking about our visible Christian walk before one another and before a lost and dying world. Bringing our Christian living now through to chapter number 4, and verse number 3, it starts to point our Christian living to our gospel, to our gospel. So our gospel and our Christian living, our gospel is our Christian living. We know what the word gospel is. The word gospel is the good news. It is the good news. Now, our gospel, us and what we do, we cannot save a soul. But what we do, as we saw from this morning, it can lead someone towards the gospel of Jesus Christ or away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. What we do as a born-again believer with the grace of God, we will either be a hypocrite or we will be the gospel lived before a lost and dying world. And that's where what our gospel is. So our gospel is to be a mirror reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't know how to define the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'll quote this verse to you, but this is where you find it. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and verse number 4. It says, "For I declare unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins," so that's the death, "according to the scriptures, and he was buried," the burial, "and that he rose again," which is the resurrection, "the third day, according to the scriptures." Clear definition of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Well, you and I, with our gospel, we don't physically die. We don't physically get buried. We don't physically physically rise again. Look at Romans chapter number 6. When we look at Romans chapter number 6, we can start to see, we keep a finger in 2 Corinthians 4, we're going to be back and forth, but in Romans chapter number 6 and verse 2 through verse number 5, we're going to see that our gospel, our good news, what we are, is a visible Christian, is our visible Christian living, but it is also represented as we were born again of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we need to live that before a lost and dying world. And our death in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 2. It says, "How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein?" So visibly, we were dead in sin. We were going to be cast into the lake of fire. We were dead. Our death, we were dead. But then in verse number 3, we see our burial. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." This is our spiritual baptism. This is when we were born again. Our death, we were dead in sin. We were buried in Christ. Then in verse number 4 and 5, we see our resurrection. It says, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in" what? Newness of life. Not newness of spirit. We're already spiritually what we need to be, where the perfection of the Spirit of God by the grace of God is sealed within us. Now we have to walk in a newness of life. This becomes the visibility of our gospel to a lost and dying world. We need to walk in newness of life. Verse number 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." In his resurrection, today, as we are a born-again believer, we are going to be raptured. We're going to meet him one day. We are going to go through the bema seat of Christ. We are going to have our judgment one day. But today, we walk in newness of life. And that newness of life is our mirror reflection to a lost world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our gospel is our visible Christian living. So therefore, seeing, back in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, makes our gospel something that's visible, something that is visible. The question is, do people see Christ in us today? Or are we a hypocrite? Do they see the gospel of Jesus Christ in us? Now, they can't get saved because of what we are and who we are, but they can be pointed to who he is and to his gospel, because our gospel must be a mirror reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They ought to be able to see the glory of God in us. They ought to know that we are different, that we have been born again, if they only look at our Christian living and we never tell them from our mouth. We are new creatures in Jesus Christ. And as we are new creatures in Jesus Christ, we now are to become ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Look in 2 Corinthians 5, one chapter after. We went to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 4 is our gospel one. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 18. Jesus being the living word, we are new creatures. We need to be ambassadors for Christ. We are saved by Jesus Christ, by his word, to live his word before a lost and dying world. And we have to realize that many people, the only gospel or the only Bible that many people may see is what they see in us as we live it before them. In verse number 18 of 2 Corinthians 5, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Our ministry of reconciliation is this. It is to live the word of God before a lost and dying world. It is to live the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is called our gospel and our Christian living. We live it before a lost and dying world. In verse number 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You're already a born-again believer, but now you need to be reconciled. You need to be walking that gospel with Jesus Christ, walking in newness of life, living your gospel before a lost and a dying world. So contextually and literally, chapter number 4 is in the middle of chapter 3 and chapter 5. You don't need a theological degree for that one. But when you take a look at it, chapter number 3 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3 is us living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Chapter number 5 is us sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The question is, sandwiched in between in chapter number 3, how can the God of this world, how can the God of this world hide our gospel from a lost and dying world? He can't. If we are living the gospel of Jesus Christ, He cannot hide the gospel from a lost and dying world. I'll tell you this right now. There will never be a person at that great white throne of judgment that will stand before Jesus Christ and say, I did not hear the gospel because the God of this world hid it from me. No man will stand with that with any excuses before God Almighty. But then I challenge you, how many of us are going to have blood on our hands? We're told that we will have that on our hands because we never lived our gospel before a lost and a dying world. Our first point now was a simple question. What is our gospel? Our gospel, simple answer from chapter 3 and chapter number 5, is our Christian living. Our Christian living is our gospel. Our gospel must be a mirror reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ, living Christ before a lost and dying world. Second point, how is our gospel hid? How is our gospel hid? Back in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, in verse number 1, it says, if our gospel be hid, here's one of the reasons our gospel is hid, is because we faint. Our gospel is hid when we faint. What does that word faint mean? The word faint means to lose your motivation. You remember the day you were born again and how excited you were? How motivated you were? You didn't care who you told about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You didn't care who you told that you came to church. You don't care who you told that you became a born-again believer. Your motivation was through the roof. Your excitement was through the roof. This word faint means to lose motivation and to be discouraged. To lose motivation and to be discouraged. We live in a day of fainting today. A great day of offended saints today. They're offended today. They get mad at the preacher. Shoot the messenger. They get mad at the church. They get mad at God today. And as a result of this, these fainters are no longer in the house of God. Their gospel is not seen before a lost and dying world. They're not living it before them. Their gospel is hid because they lost motivation. They became discouraged. They blamed whoever. They fainted and they're no longer living their gospel before a lost and dying world. They are why it's hid before a lost and dying world. Faint now is spiritual and it's not physical. Look at verse number 16 in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Faint is all about the spiritual and not the physical. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our inward man needs to be renewed. The morning message this morning was plain and clear about the grace of God. How much we need to be renewed day after day. We need to be getting right with God day after day. We need to be running to 1 John 1:9 if it has to be a revolving door for us, making sure that our faults, our sins, our iniquity before God are purged before God, that we can live the gospel plainly before a lost and dying world and not stand as a hypocrite before them. We are told to faint not. Faint not means do not lose motivation spiritually because it will impact your ministry. And your ministry is your Christian living. Your ministry is your gospel. That is all physical. If you faint spiritually, you get discouraged, you lose your motivation, you get mad at the preacher, mad at God, mad at the Word of God, you get offended and run from God, you're no longer living the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have fainted, and it's going to impact your Christian living before a lost and dying world. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. How do we faint not? How do we faint not? Some things are a tall order. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to lose our motivation. We heard earlier today, we need to be in all the services. You need to be here Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival services. We need to be learning, constantly learning about what the grace of God is, being taught how to live the grace of God to a lost and a dying world. But how do we faint not? We're battling this every day. Well, Hebrews 12 and verse 13 tells us, consider him. Consider him. And this is not the God of the world. The God of the world hides our gospel from a lost and dying world. He uses us to hide it from a lost and dying world. But here it says, consider him. This is the God of all the universe. God of all the universe that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and what? Faint in your mind. Spiritually on the inside, you lose your motivation. You get your discouragement. It's going to affect your outward ministry, your outward Christian living, your gospel before a lost and a dying world. This word endured in Hebrews 12 and verse number 3, it means to maintain course of action in the face of opposition. It just literally means stand your ground. When the devil comes up, he pokes you in the back, stand your ground. You need to have that armor of God on and you stand your ground. We faint when we do not stand our ground against the God of this world. And then 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 becomes true in our life. Our gospel becomes hid from a lost and dying world. We need to be armed up, but the question is, are you armed up or are you not armed up? You're only going to do it in the armor of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God is the God of all the universe, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's the God of this all this world. He's the God of this world. He's attacking. We can only withstand him by the grace of God with the armor of God. So we need to put on the whole armor of God, which is literally the God of all this universe, the one from Hebrews 12 and verse number 3. If we do not want to faint, consider him. Consider him. We need to endure. We need to stand our ground against the devil that wants to take us down. If we do not arm ourselves up, then we faint and we turn back to where we came from. This morning, I read this verse, Galatians 4 and verse number 9. It says, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements. Those things of absolutely zero spiritual worth. The elements, the principles of all this world, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Either you're armed up or you're not. And if you're not armed up, you're going to turn back to the weak and the beggarly elements of this world. The God of this world is going to win, not against the gospel of Jesus Christ, but against your gospel, and you will not be living it before your Christian living before a lost and dying world. So the first point in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, 2 Corinthians 4, how the gospel is hid. And verse number 1 is our gospel is hid when we faint. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2, our gospel is hid when we have not renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. When we have not renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This word renounced is more than simply disowning something. It's a lot more than that. The word renounced doesn't mean to disown and ignore. It literally means to speak out against. To speak out against. We are to speak out against dishonesty. And the word dishonesty means shameful deeds. And shameful deeds are what we have been washed from. What we have become a new creature. What our gospel and our Christian living is all about. In 1 Corinthians 6, the end of verse number 9 through verse number 11, it says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of them with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We need to renounce the things that we have been washed from. Such were some of you. It should not be said of us, such are you right now. If it is, the gospel, your gospel, has been hid from a lost and dying world. And your gospel is a mere reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is how the gospel was hid here with this point. When we do not renounce then we are approving of shameful deeds. Remember, renounce is not simply just turning a blind eye. And I'm not involved with homosexuality. I'm just going to ignore it. It's all over here. It's staying over there. Drunk, prostitution, whatever it might be, it's all over there. Renounce doesn't mean I just look at it there and I go this other direction. The word renounce means to literally speak out against. Christians must speak out against some things that are not politically correct. We got to let our voice be known. You turn your back on some of the things that are being legalized, it's going to stay legalized. Renouncing is not just turning our back on it. Renouncing is speaking out against those shameful deeds, the things in this world that the world's legalizing. It may be not be politically correct. It may cause us to lose some of our friends on this side of eternity for the sake of their eternal soul. Have you ever had a friend? Think of it like this. Have you ever had a friend that cursed around you but then apologized? You ever had that happen? Why did that happen? Because they know that you're a Christian. You've spoken out against their cursing. You've renounced it. And then they get up next to you and they curse and they apologize for it. You've renounced just cursing. Renouncing is us literally speaking out against shameful deeds. And if we don't do that, our gospel is hid. We are approving of these things if we are not speaking, literally speaking out against these. If we purposely do not renounce the legalized sins of this world, then we're hiding our gospel. We're a hypocrite. The world's not seeing the gospel in us. The gospel in us. Now he said, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The first way that our gospel is hid is when we faint, when we become discouraged, when we lose our motivation. The second one is when we, when we do not renounce dishonesty. I'm almost finding it in my notes. Thank you, brother. I draw blanks sometimes. I'll explain my medical condition one day, but I'm preaching sometimes in our church, and I'll try to quote a simple verse like John 3:16, and it's gone. I just can't find it. And our deacon, he'll just finish the sentence for me. Or I'll be preaching sometimes and he'll finish the sentence for me. So if you feel like you can preach my message, come on up. Anyway, thank you, brother. The second one is if we don't renounce dishonesty. And that's literally speaking out against their shameful deeds. The next one in verse number 2 of 2 Corinthians 4, the third one now, our gospel is hid when we are walking in craftiness. Walking in craftiness. Walking means to hang around, not just simply walking through and doing something. It literally means to take possession, to take possession. So not just that we're walking near something. Guess what? We're in this world. We're just not of this world. We're going to walk past a lot of things in this world, but we're not taking possession of them, not taking possession. This word walking here is literally speaking about latching onto things. It's used as the word occupied in Hebrews chapter number 13. Turn there with me, you'll see it, because I'm going to mention this verse again in a minute. Hebrews 13 and verse number 9, it is the word occupied, and it is more than simply just walking. It's literally taking possession, and it's literally occupying shameful deeds in the places we should not be, all because we fainted. Hebrews 13 and verse number 9, it says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." We looked at that this morning. "Not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." And this word occupied, I'll bring this in right here just to show the word occupied. And we'll pull the beginning of that verse in just a second. But the word walking means to take possession. It literally means to occupy a place. So we are not to be walking or taking possession in craftiness. The word craftiness means trickery. Now who occupies trickery today? Jude tells us in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 3 that it's certain men. It's ungodly men turning the grace of God, and we saw grace this morning, the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. So here in this point, how is our gospel hid? It's when we are walking in craftiness, we get carried away into false doctrines. And that's what the beginning of Hebrews 13:9 says. It says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established. And it can only be established from this morning by the grace of God. In the grace of God is the only way that we can be established to even be able to live our gospel out to a lost and dying world. So this third point here, our gospel is hid when we are walking in craftiness. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and one more in verse number 2. Our gospel is hid when we are handling the word of God deceitfully. Deceitfully. The word handling literally means to make false through deception. Make false through deception. This means a deliberate deception against the preaching and against the doctrines of the word of God. Turn to chapter number 2, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse number 17. Paul was dealing with what we're seeing in mass today, but he was already seeing it back in the first century church, and that's the corruption of the word of God. The corruption of the word of God. In verse number 17 of chapter number 2, it says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ." A deliberate deception against the preaching and the doctrines of the word of God is what that word handling and handling deceitfully is all about. Paul taught the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men." There was no deception, just the preaching, the reading, and the teaching of the literal word of God. We can praise God today. This King James Bible, we have a literal translation of the original text passed down to us in preservation. We have God's word. This has the full authority, the inspired word of God in our hand today, in the King James Bible today. Paul was saying that when they received the word of God, they heard of it, they received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So in this point, how is our gospel hid? It's hid when we are handling the word of God deceitfully, when we classify preaching as man's opinion and not as the power as led by the Spirit of God. When we preach the word of God, we preach the literal word of God. I'm not a perfect person. I'm going to fumble on some points. I'm going to define something wrong. But we do our utmost to study the word of God, to present it effectively and literally to you that you can receive what God would have for you. Then you take the word of God and you go out through the week and you study what was preached Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you're learning by the grace of God to live your gospel out before a lost and dying world. We close our ears to the convicting power of the word of God that is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword when we handle the word of God deceitfully. Deceitfully. So then how is our gospel hid? Pulling us all together, look at Matthew chapter number 5. How is our gospel hid? Remember, the devil will never be able to stop the gospel from going. Nobody will stand in the great white throne of judgment and be able to say, "My mama did it, my daddy did it, my brother did it, the devil did it." Nobody will be able to point the devil. But we will stand there with blood on our hands, with blood on our hands. We can praise God that this world knows the gospel of Jesus Christ. The book of Romans is all about faith. Romans chapter number 1, man is without excuse because of creation. Romans chapter number 2, man is without excuse because of their own conscience. Romans chapter number 3, man is without excuse because of the word of God. They have what they need to be born again. You and I, when we lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, or we don't live our gospel before someone, they still have an opportunity to be born again. The devil can never stop the gospel message from reaching the heart of people that need the gospel. You and I, we just lose our rewards. We lose what we would have for eternity if we have blood on our hands and we're not presenting faithfully the word of God, living our gospel out to a lost and dying world. So then how is our gospel hid? It's hid, that word hid in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 3 means to veil or to cover. And we see this in Matthew 5, look at verse 14 through verse number 16. This is literally how our gospel is hid. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your," what? good work. We looked at that this morning, our good works. We need to be learning to do our good works by the grace of God, our good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven, which is in heaven. Verse number 15, our gospel is hid whenever we put a bushel over our gospel. We put that bushel over our Christian living, then that gospel be hid. The devil is using us. He's that little guy over here tugging up. We looked at it this morning, tugging to do this. Don't go to church. Don't go to Sunday school. Don't hand out the gospel tracts in Florida. I saw that picture, sitting there reading the gospel tracts. Souls being saved. The devil don't want you to do that, but the devil cannot stop you from doing that. He can convince you not to, and you are the one that will put the bushel over your head, so you are the one that is hiding your gospel from a lost and dying world. The world can still get saved. They've got creation, their conscience, the Word of God. They have everything that they need to be born again. We are just a vessel. We are just entrusted with the gospel. He put us in trust to be a presenter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you remember what Jesus said when he went into Jerusalem? He said the rocks could cry out. Remember, animals talked in the Old Testament. And if you study the tribulation, the angels are going to be up in the heavens, flying in the heavens, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mankind will get the gospel of Jesus Christ. God said, you start to seek after me, you're going to find me. Anyone that comes to me, he's going to in no wise turn them away. We know that they can be born again, but we are just a vessel. The question is, are we going to have blood on our hands? Have we put a bushel over our head? So when we faint in our Christian living, we pop the bushel over. When we do not renounce dishonesty, we put a bushel over. When we walk in craftiness, we put a bushel. When we handle the Word of God deceitfully, we are putting that bushel. If you look at these in order, they get progressively worse and worse and worse. It just starts out with simply losing your motivation, being discouraged, not going to church, blaming God, the man of God, the Word of God. Then you start to renounce, or you don't renounce them dishonest things. Well, I'm not involved in that over there. I don't need to speak out against that over there. You just go this way. Then you start to walk in those craftiness and the things that you should not. That means taking occupation in those hidden things of dishonesty. Then you handle the Word of God deceitfully. You start to take the Word of God and excuse that deceitfulness. Look at the churches today. Look at what's happening in churches. Who's becoming ordained in these places, big old quotes, around the word church. Today we are starting to see a form of godliness, but denying the power of God in churches today, even in our independent Baptist churches today. It's happening today. It all starts with the faint, then not renouncing, then walking in a craftiness, then taking this right here, whether it's a King James or whatever, and using this to excuse homosexuality, alcoholism, whatever you might want to excuse, prostitution, which is legalized in New Zealand, whatever it is, they use this and they handle it deceitfully. What a gross progression that's going on here, and our gospel becomes hid. So, last point, this one's quicker. Last point, if our gospel be hid, look in 2 Corinthians 4 again. If our gospel be hid, what is going to happen? But if our gospel be hid, in verse 3, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If our gospel be hid, Satan prevails. Satan prevails. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's out there to devour. He prevails when we put a bushel over our gospel. Satan perverts the world as believers turn back to the beggarly things, the wicked things, the dishonest things. In Ephesians 2:2 it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We just turn back that way. The devil starts perverting the world. It starts perverting the way of salvation. In our text in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. They start following after the handling of the word of God deceitfully, a different gospel, a different way of salvation, a work salvation, whatever it might be, because this was handled deceitfully. The devil starts then to pervert the way of salvation by believers who are putting that bushel over top of their gospel and their Christian living. If our gospel be hid, ultimately, sinners can perish. Sinners can perish. Let me quote this verse to you. I've mentioned it. in part, Ezekiel 3 and verse 18. It says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. That's speaking up. That's literally renouncing, saying something verbal. And thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. How much blood is on our hands because of our gospel being hid? Because we fainted, because we have not renounced dishonesty, because we then have become trickery, handled the word of God deceitfully, or simply we have put that bushel over top of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our gospel. Turn to Philippians 2, and we'll wind up with this. How is our gospel clearly seen? We need it to remain seen out there to a lost and dying world. We need revival, that the gospel, our Christian living, by the grace of God, can be seen by all of this world, that they can know that there is truthfully a God in heaven ready to save their soul. Philippians 2, verse number 15, it says that ye may be blameless. I told you this morning, I'll explain this word blameless tonight. We have to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How do we shine? The bushel's not on it. Our Christian living, we're shining it out. And verse number 16 tells us how to shine it out, holding forth this. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This right here, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Jesus Christ. We won't be sad with blood on our hands. We're going to be rejoicing in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We have to be blameless before a lost and dying world. That's our gospel shining out. This word blameless is not being perfect. We are not perfect. Blameless just simply means that someone can't lay hold of an accusation against us. And it's not that we played with some court system, got a good lawyer, and got away with something, and they can't make an accusation against us. It literally means, by definition, we definitely sinned, but we paid our dues, and now we are still a sinner. Now still a sinner. The best illustration I have, good illustration. I won't ask if anyone here has gotten a speeding ticket. Your wife may be looking. if you ever had a speeding ticket, you go and you pay your fine. Does that mean that you never were a speeder? No, you still were a speeder. What it does mean is that you paid your debt to society. That means you are blameless of speeding. Doesn't mean you never did speed, but you're blameless of speeding. We are sinners. Saved by grace. I love that song, Sinners Saved by Grace. We go to 1 John 1:9. We're purged once again. The blood, we're running to the blood of Jesus Christ. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And our gospel shines out once again, bright and new and fresh to a lost and dying world. 1 John 1:9 is us paying our debt by crucifying this flesh, putting this flesh under submission, admitting that we're a sinner, confessing our sin, walking away from God, still a sinner, but blameless because it's covered by the blood. Our light is now shining out. This is our gospel going out to a lost and a dying world. Our lives must be blameless. It must be a blameless manifestation of the truth, revealing the work of both the Spirit of God and the Word of God in our life. They ought to be able to see that written epistle. They ought to be able to see the King James Bible in our life today, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we stand blameless before them. God forbid that our gospel is hid to those who we have daily contact with. God forbid that. Their eternity hinges upon our gospel. Their eternity may hinge upon your light. Matthew 5:16, we just read it. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And as they see your good works, they glorify your God which is in heaven. Why would they ever want to glorify God? Maybe they got born again. They trusted Christ as Savior because of your light that they saw pointing to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they became a born-again believer. John 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why is this? Verse number 19 says, light is come into the world. And now we are to shine that light out. We are born again believers. We are Christians today. We need to live that Christian walk today. Trust the grace of Jesus Christ and live the gospel out before a lost and dying world. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. As I close it up, the question tonight is not, this is not the question, when was the last soul you led to Christ? That's not the question tonight. The question tonight is this: when was the last time a lost soul saw Christ in you? That's what this "if the gospel be hid" is all about. When was the last time a lost world saw Christ in you? This is the direct context of what our gospel being hid is all about, not by Satan, but by us. We chose to be faint. We chose to be deceitful. We chose to walk away from God. We chose to put that bushel over our head. The devil didn't put that bushel down. I did that, or you did that. We can get back to where we need to be. Run to 1 John 1:9. Purge ourselves of our wretchedness and our wickedness. We're still a sinner, but we walk away blameless, shining the gospel to a lost and dying world. This is what revival is all about. And I trust this will be a foundation for us stepping into the next couple of nights to be ready to take the gospel out to a lost and dying world. If this week you don't get the chance to put a tract in someone's hand, if this week you don't get to open your mouth and go through the Romans road, every person you walk by ought to see the gospel of Jesus Christ. They ought to see it in every one of you. It could be that you lived the gospel before someone that you did not get to witness to. Then come Pastor Ray, and he started talking to them, and they remembered you. You were not a hypocrite, and they trust Christ as Savior. Or, on the flip side, they saw your gospel was hid, the hypocrisy. Then came along Pastor Ray, give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they reject the gospel because of you. Who's got the blood on their hands? Blood on it, not because you didn't talk to them, because you didn't live it before them. That's what our gospel is all about. Let's leave here tonight blameless. Let's leave here tonight. If you say you don't have to go to 1 John 1:9 today, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool. Every one of us have something in our lives that we have to continuously, daily, put this flesh into crucifixion. Put this flesh into submission. Let's get right with God as we go into revival and trust God that He will use us in a mighty way through this week and as a result of this week. Let's all stand and bow our heads, close our eyes, and go to the Lord in prayer. If our gospel be hid, it's all about us and what we do with our gospel and our Christian living before a lost and a dying world. What have you done with it this week? What are you going to do with it next week? Next week. As the piano is played, if God's touched your heart in any way, if you're here tonight and you have no clue what that gospel is all about, you want to be a born-again believer, you want to be able to live the gospel, you don't know that you have an eternity in heaven today, you don't know that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, let tonight be the day of your salvation. I guarantee you it'll be a day of rejoicing like you've never had before. You come and trust Christ as your Savior. Get it settled with God today. As a born-again believer today, let's make sure we got our life right. Do business with God right where you are. You want to make business known? Come forward. Come forward. Take the hand of one of these men. Pray with them. Let's walk away from here refreshed. Walk away from here with a bushel off of our gospel that it is shining out brightly to a lost and a dying world.